It's crucial now more than ever to guard our hearts and protect our homes. Here's Adrian Rogers.
Your children, my children, your grandchildren, our grandchildren are being systematically seduced. They're becoming roadkill on the information superhighway. The hardening and destructive force is beyond my power to state and to estimate. But I want to give you a practical and a biblical way to gain the victory, and you can have victory. Guard your heart, protect your home.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding, featuring powerful and convicting lessons from pastor and author Adrian Rogers. There's a spiritual battle going on in society, and the enemy's attack is fixed on the minds of our children. As Dr. Rogers just mentioned, they're being systematically seduced by this enemy who wants to destroy our homes. He's redefined morality and introduced substitutes for the truth found only in Scripture. But it's crucial our children learn real truth never changes. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll begin in verse 24 as Adrian Rogers reveals how to guard our hearts and protect our homes in the message, The Moses Principle.
Your children, my children, our grandchildren are under a greater assault and a greater attack than any generation in history. That assault, that attack, is coming from the very pit of hell to corrupt the minds of our children through pornography. Material that was once seen and sold in back alleys is now on open display in magazine racks and neighborhood drugstores. It is being piped into the homes of America's families through cable television. And on top of all of that, the most dangerous and insidious of all is the internet that has come into the home. Now, this battle is so critical because what Satan wants to do is to pollute a child's mind, to corrupt that child, to steal from that child the very best, to greatly damage him now, and to take away from that child, that boy or that girl, the future and the future marital happiness that God wants for him. The devil has a pipeline right now into the homes of America. Our children today have to walk through a mudslide of sludge. Primetime television has become slimetime television in every home. It's heartbreaking. Now, my purpose in this series of messages, and this is the first in a series, is not to convince you that pornography is out there. If you need convincing, somehow you're numb. You're not awake. It is there. And I want to say in the presentation of these messages, I have not looked at pornography, and I don't intend to. I'm not investigating to tell you what is there. I do not intend to put garbage in my mind, and I don't have to eat swill to preach on hogs. But I have enough awareness to know what is going on. Let me tell you something I think is the most startling thing that I read in all of this research. In 1973, Americans spent no more than $10 million on pornography in a year. By 1999, Americans were spending $10 billion a year. That is a 1,000% increase in pornography. Now, this is sad for adults, but it's even sadder for children. Your children, my children, your grandchildren, our grandchildren are being systematically seduced. They're becoming roadkill on the information superhighway. The hardening and destructive force is beyond my power to state and to estimate. Now, what I want to do in these messages, not to make an oration, not to play upon your emotions, but I want to give you a practical and a biblical way to gain the victory, and you can have victory. Now, what I want to do is to show you that there can be no victory until you, first of all, make a personal choice and teach your children to make a personal choice. Where is the answer? The answer is not in political action. Though we ought to do all that we can do politically, the answer is not there. The problem is too pervasive, too persuasive, and we're going to have to take the policeman off the street corner and put him in the heart. The answer is not through electronic safeguards. All of these can be overridden by children, outsmarted, and overruled by adults. Warnings are not enough, because the pull and the enticement and the curiosity of pornography is too strong. There must be a personal choice. We're going to talk tonight about the choice that Moses made. And I want to give you tonight what I call the Moses principle. It's found here in Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to begin reading with me in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, Moses chose is what this scripture says, very clearly and very plainly. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the children of God. There will not be victory in your family. There will be no victory with your children until they make a choice. Now, I've often told you when we talk about choice that you're free to choose. Thank God for that. But you're not free not to choose, because even not to choose is the choice not to choose. You're free to choose. You're not free not to choose. You are not free to choose the consequences of your choice. First of all, you choose, and then the choice chooses for you. Now, Moses chose. And how did Moses choose? Well, look in verse 24. He did it by faith. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, Moses chose by faith. Well, how do you have faith? You have to hear from God. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Make no mistake about it. Moses had heard from God. And once Moses heard from God, then Moses was able to make a choice. Now, let me tell you something, parents. Satan's strategy is to keep your children away from hearing from God. Now, if your children do not hear from God, they cannot make a faith choice. And if your children do not make a faith choice, they're going to go down. They are going to fail, because it is the Word of God that gets in your heart that enables you to overcome. Satan's chief weapon is to steal away the Word of God from the hearts and minds of young people. If you do not have a word from God, you will never, in my estimation, if you're a normal young person, overcome pornography. Never. If you're a grown man, you will not do it. Now, the devil has substituted all kinds of sources of authority. For example, there is relativism. Everything is relative. There's no fixed standard of right and wrong. Everything is moving. There is no fixed, solid standard. And so all ideas just chase other ideas across the terrain. Well, that's out in our world today. That's called relativism. Now, other young people are living by subjectivism. And adults, what is subjectivism? Well, I just feel this is right. I just feel this is wrong. And so everything is based on feeling. And they might say to you, and you'll hear this, well, now listen, what's true for you may not be true for me. What's true for me may not be true for you. And our young people are being taught, be true to your feelings. Another substitute for fixed truth is not only subjectivism, but rationalism. People say, no, don't live by your feelings. Live by your mind. Figure it out. Weigh it. Test it. Measure it. Put it in a test tube. Pull out your slide rule. Get out your calculator and figure it out. Behavior is based on logic. Thus saith the mind of man, rather than thus saith the word of God. For others, the way may be pragmatism. People don't even ask, is it true anymore? They just ask, does it work? But we've come today to the worst condition of all, which is postmodernism. What is postmodernism? Modernism tried to determine what is right or wrong, and the liberals and the conservatives argued. The postmodernists don't argue about it because they say there is no fixed truth. There is no right. There is no wrong. They ask, is there any truth at all? You want your children to live right? You want your children to do right? Parents, you had better inculcate in their hearts and in their minds there is a fixed standard of truth, and it is the Word of God. Amen. You are fighting a battle that you're going to lose. In today's society, it is not enough for you to put your hands on your hips and say, that is wrong. Why, Daddy? Don't ask me why, just because I said so. That won't work. If you say, just because I said so, you're going to fail. You need to say, son, it is wrong to steal because God says so. It is wrong to commit adultery because God says so. You are to obey your parents because God says so. You're to have a clean thought life because God says so. You're to put some rock-ribbed convictions in the heart of your children. What is my job as a dad? What is my job as a grandfather? What is your duty, your job? 3 John 1 verse 4, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Well, I can say amen to that. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. You see, it is the truth that sets you free. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17 for us. And here's what he prayed in John 17 verse 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Well, sanctify is a big word we don't normally use. So I looked it up in another translation. Phillips' translation gives it this way. Make them holy by the truth. Do you want holy children? They're going to have the truth. Now, I want to mention three truths, three facts, three treasures that you will learn from the truth. Notice verse 24. He says, Moses by faith refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now remember, faith comes by hearing the word of God. Verse 26, esteeming, that is considering, figuring, judging the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, what is he doing? He's evaluating. He's getting some treasures. And let me just say, to begin with, there must be a wise evaluation. That's the first point. There must be a wise evaluation. Now, Satan does not want you to make that wise evaluation. He doesn't want your children to make that wise evaluation. And so, you're going to be faced, and the kids today are going to be faced between two things, pleasures and treasures. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin, underscore pleasures of sin, for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, the choice here is between true pleasures and ungodly pleasures, between true treasures and trash. Moses had a value system that is working for him. Now, what are three treasures that I want to write upon my children's hearts? Three treasures, three things I want them to evaluate, I want them to see from the Word of God. First of all, the treasure of a clean heart. Your children need to understand how great it is to have a clean heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. A clean heart is its own reward. The treasure of a clean heart. When the heart is pure, God is real. And then we can have that incredible fellowship with God. Put down 1 John 1, verses 3 through 7. John says, that which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that you may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you that your joy might be full. Do you want fullness of joy? Then have fellowship with one another and with Jesus Christ. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I've thought about this. I can tell you that a clean heart, a pure heart, is the only kind of a heart that can have fellowship with God. And no pornography on earth is worth forfeiting fellowship with God. That's a treasure, to have fellowship with God. I am telling you, I don't care who you are, if you're into pornography, your fellowship with God is broken, you're in darkness, and you have no joy. I don't care who you are. If you're into pornography, I can tell you without stutter, stammer, or apology, you're not having fellowship with God, and I can tell you clearly, plainly, that you have no joy. Now, what is the evaluation? First of all, we need to teach our children the treasure of a clean heart. A clean heart is its own reward. But secondly, we need to teach them not only the treasure of a clean heart, but we need to teach them the treasure of true love. Now, these come in order. Only a clean heart can truly love. Go to 1 John again, chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. I am telling you, if you get pornography in your life, if the children get pornography in their life, they will automatically lose the ability to love. You see, listen, when a person has fellowship with God, by the very nature of that fellowship with God, when he has that treasure of a clean heart, which is fellowship with God, it follows he has the ability to love. There's nothing more debilitating, nothing more stultifying, nothing more harmful to the ability to love than pornography. You see, God wants you to love. Pornography is not based on love. It destroys love. It is based on lust. Look again in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father. It's of the world. Now, the highest good is to love. The great joy is to love. But we have a generation today that talks about making love, but they don't know the difference between love and lust. A boy gets a girl. He said, I just love you. I just love you. I just love you. He doesn't love her. He loves her like a man loves oranges. To suck all of the goodness, the sweetness, the juice, the purity, and throws her away like a piece of garbage. What's the difference between love and lust? Lust wants to get. Love wants to give.
Lust wants to get, love wants to give. That is so true, isn't it? Seems pretty countercultural nowadays, though, doesn't it? We're going to hear part two of the Moses Principle coming up on Monday, but if you have questions regarding what it means to place your faith in Jesus, we'd love to offer you an insightful resource on our website. It's the Discover Jesus page. You'll find answers that you might have about your faith, as well as a response section where you can share with us how this message or others have impacted you. Go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Discover Jesus. Again, lwf.org/radio. We can't wait to hear from you. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's message on CD, you can order by calling 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title of today's message, The Moses Principle. This lesson's also part of our powerful series, Guard Your Heart, Protect Your Home. For the complete collection, all four insightful messages, call that number, 877-LOVE-GOD, or go online to lwf.org/radio. Or you can write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Have you made a wise evaluation and a clear choice to guard your heart? Remember, as Adrian Rogers said, nobody drifts into purity. You have to choose. Make the choice today. And be sure to join us next time for more profound truth simply stated right here on Love Worth Finding. A listener in Maine left a convicting and motivating message for us recently. I'd love to share it with you now. He said, thank you for all the wonderful messages. We are a suffering nation, quickly losing sight of our God. It seems we are failing the next generation. They do not have as much knowledge of God, faith in Him, or each other. We need Dr. Rogers' messages calling us back. We pray for Love Worth Finding's continued success and many more years of his messages. But we are grateful for your prayers and your support as we share real truth that never changes in some gloriously dark days. Adrian Rogers said, when we were born again, we were born to win. When you donate to the ministry this month, we want to send you our Overcomers booklet collection. Request the bundle when you call with a gift at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. And again, thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.